morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise. I'm with Forgotten Word Ministries. Welcome you back again. God bless each and every one of you. Once again, we just pray that today would be a day that you would learn and that the Lord would speak through me here on this program today to give you some more knowledge of His Word and His ways. And that's our prayer. We ask in Jesus' precious name that this happen today. Want to continue on today with something that I talked a little bit about the other day, and that's, you know, where are you going, what's your reward going to be? And I wanted to expand on that a little today. It's an important subject. It's one of the most important. I mean, if you, like I said, it's heaven or hell. We mentioned that the other day. So I want to continue in that vein a little bit today. Psalms 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Once again, we'd ask that folks, you would, if you got a pencil and a tablet or something, write down the scripture verse and then look them up again later to refresh your memory. That's Psalms 31:19. Now, the merchants of this world are constantly seeking your dollars. That's a lot about what I'm going to start off with here today. They promise you some thrills, creature comfort, or a better me in this temporary dwelling place, you know, earthly. But it's a fleeting life that we're here, and we're, and God told us to lose our lives and not to preserve or pamper them. I don't know why we have a trouble understanding that. John 12:24-26 explains that a little better than I am. But true servant elders in Christ's body should be calling you to give up your life and part of that financial reward in worship to Jesus, and for rewards that will have no end. That's our reward, folks, is a place that'll have no end. But today, everything seems to dwell around the dollar, money, even in the churches. It's sad. These preachers are out there begging for money, and they're millionaires, multi-millionaires. They've spent millions upon millions upon millions of dollars given to them, a few dollars, $5, $10 at a time, by people who really didn't have extra to give. And these men and women have become multi-millionaires off of these poor folks. It's sickening. Plumb sickening. It just amazes me. But it happens. You know, in this brief little life that we got here, folks, we're given a window of opportunity to work, to provide for our families and for ourselves and the basic necessities in life. And then to have to give, you know, to those in need and also to the work of the eternal gospel. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:6-11 and Ephesians 4:28 explain that better. "This is a privilege our Lord has given us, to lay up yourselves treasures in heaven." That's out of Matthew, by the way, 6:19-24. But, you know, we're supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not here on earth. If we truly put Him first, listen, will His work be the last thing that receives a financial attention? Or will His work be the very first place that we place our funds out of what He allowed us to earn in the start, the first place? You know, if we put the Lord first, then we certainly should not be giving money to every other Tom, Dick, and Harry comes down the road. You know, we should be giving to the Lord. That is what helps to spread the gospel. But when you give millions of dollars a year to one of these evangelists. They take in $100 million a year, and some, a lot of them way more than that. But they take up all this money. They spend some of it on some good things. But how many dollars do they keep for themselves? It's just unbelievable. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You hear that? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But seek ye first. You listen closely to what he said here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It gets really simple, doesn't it? So take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's out of Matthew. Now, Matthew 6, by the way. You know, here what we have is Jesus' teaching. He's teaching his people not to be worried about tomorrow, but to seek first his kingdom by laying up treasures in heaven, and by not serving mammon, by God, who is the giver of all goods, gifts in the first place. He never runs out of goods to give us, but can he get those goods through us after he gets them to us? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, I don't want to say this. You know, the Lord is to be praised for those who have given to Christ's work in the past. That's for sure. You are among the vast minority, though. 99% of those who receive from the few sound ministries in this late hour have never bothered to help the work of the Lord. So that makes your willingness to help so much more important, see? We have to help provide for people who are preaching the truth. You may have to reach out there and help these guys and financially try to see what you can do for them. You know, actually, to be honest with you, you know, our willingness to help so much is, you know, like I said, is the more important thing now. The Lord promised, though, that you would be rewarded eternally. Your continued giving is vital to the substance and fruitfulness of divinely ordained true New Testament ministries. If they are telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but God's truth, they are in need of your help. People just don't rush out to give to those who endeavor to preach the full counsel of the Lord's word. In fact, they get offended and run to the ear-tickling ministers of Satan. And the sad fact is that most who get fed by ministries never bother to give of what God has put into their hands to further his work. In fact, many listening to these words, have thousands saved up for a rainy day, is what I hear. People got a lot of money, but they're saving it. They're preserving, their life in this present, fleeting, sinful world, and will not bother to help anybody. Now, don't misunderstand this and mistake this for a plea for you sending money to my ministry. I'm telling you that you should be given to your church and then to others that you feel are preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's sad when I see how many people give how many you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to the television ministries. And when you talk to them, they really don't know a lot. That's because all they do is listen to what the preacher's got to say, whether it's good or bad. If God, His work, and souls means something of importance to us, we will not support the outflow, not support the outflow of the Lord's word? Well, I would like to think that we would. If we truly believe God and His work and souls that are not saved, we truly believe those things, we would think that we would be throwing our money out there to get the word done. If Jesus Christ is truly Lord and Master of our lives, he's then actually the Lord and Master of all of our lives, including all that we have. Now, I know that sounds maybe like you got to give everything to Christ, but it does. It is. I mean, everything that we have, folks, it comes from God if we understand it. And Christ also said, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." That's 1 Chronicles 29:14. Now, someone did say one time, I don't know who it was, but I've heard this before, but it's a good little saying. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And that's the way it has to be. You have to rely on the Lord. That's just the way it is. Now, according to Jesus, the way to get on fire for him is to begin by simple, deliberate obedience. Our hearts will follow. Matthew 6:19-21 explains that. We cannot serve God and money. We must lay down our lives before Him in unreserved surrender. Then all becomes His. See, that's how it works. Now, if we've chosen to be disciplined about paying for frivolous ways, such as cable TV, the tanning salons, expensive coffees, cosmetics, hobbies, can we not consider revamping our priorities, maybe? How about pushing everything else down lower and placing the Lord Almighty at the very top of the list of priorities? You'd think that'd be a smart move, wouldn't you? Now, where is that? Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Proverbs 3:9-10. Now, how is it that we had the wherewithal, the energy, and the money to go out and contract with different companies for temporal items of pleasures? Was it not the desire of our hearts? Do we desire to see the Lord's word prosper in the lives and lives of others? I would hope so. Can we not now choose to be disciplined in our giving to the Lord's work? And actually, folks, isn't that not part of the daily cross that you have to bear? Or are we here to stay or just passing through? Now, I really wonder if you even, sometimes if we even know the answer to that, we get so confused. Now, so many people eagerly pursue and invest their earthly money, seeking to multiply it. But what are Jesus' teachings on this important subject? Well, Luke 12 and Luke 16 would be good places to start, I'll tell you. Why would Jesus, who died for our sins and souls, jeopardize that very soul? He died to save against his own counsel. In Mark it says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" So let's pick that up tomorrow. We're out of time today. God bless you.